Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Isaac, the cool one.
What? This is our podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast.
I don't know. It's brought to you by Les Schwab, though.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Blip, blip.
But
at
the club, Club 1080.
I think it's a Himalayan snowcock.
Wow. Mac and cheese.
In our award-winning Trailblazers preview there, we did neglect to mention one thing, and Mike mentioned it in his update, that Trailblazers rookie Zach Collins will not be making his NBA debut. He has the trots.
Yeah. Look, you got the squirts. What are you supposed to do?
I just think that's an omen.
I would like to believe that every member of that organization should make fun of him for like the next 6 months for missing the first career of his, or the first game of his career, because he's got a case of the muds. That's so fitting.
Yeah, I worry that was a really bad pick, and it's not going to be pretty for him.
But in fairness to him,
he's already missing his first game with diarrhea.
But look, if you've got a case of the trots, what are you supposed to do? You can't play with that.
Why not?
You can't just be running around leaking. And when you've got something like that, and you know you've got to stay close to home base, like, you can't effectively box out knowing that at any moment that could happen. And like, you feel some rumbling in there, so you go to relieve some pressure, but you can't gamble with that, not on an NBA floor.
Guys do. I bet you guys do.
I don't think so.
He may be super sick. I mean, you know, it happens. I'm just saying.
Do you have to wear like a man pad at that point?
A mani pad?
I think you kind of have to. I think you have to protect yourself.
Gives new meaning to the term swish.
We've all been there. Look, that's one of the more debilitating things that you can have. If you've ever had really bad diarrhea, good luck doing anything. You can't. You're home. Yeah. And you of all people should know, because over the years,
I know,
you've had to get up and leave segments.
Oh, I know.
I'll never forget, we were at Ruth Chris. We were doing one of our Civil War dinners, and you just looked at me and you mouthed, "I'm sorry," in the middle of the segment. And you took off your headset and just marched. And the best part
is... That's a true story.
Yeah, it's a true story.
I had just gotten back from being really
true
sick.
True story, yeah.
And I still had a little left in me there.
It was like, look, I've got to go. And so I started filibustering until you got back. I started breaking down the game. And stupid Dusty, and no one knew because we weren't on TV, and then Dusty ratted you out. Like, I was like, I went to throw it a break, and Dusty over the air is like, "Hey, what happened to Rob?" And I'm like, just go to commercial. It'll be fine. We come back. And Dusty's like, "What? Do you have to go to the bathroom or something?" I'm like, "There you go, Dusty."
Well, thanks for at least trying to cover for
me. I was trying to cover for you, but I'll never forget just mouthing, "I'm sorry." It just gets up and leaves. That's Zach Collins. You know, what if he's shooting a free throw? What if he's out trying to shoot a big free throw tonight and he has to turn to Damian Lillard and say, I'm sorry, and then just leave the court.
Look, you know, there are some guys in this league, and unfortunately Myers Leonard is one of them, that just become...
You mean Zach Collins?
No, Myers Leonard.
Oh, Myers Leonard.
They just become the butt of the joke and funky. You know, it's like they're just goofy and like people make fun of them and stuff. And bad things happen. Like, I feel like Zach Collins is already going down that road. It's the first game and he's got the
squirts. This is the omen.
Somebody here has texted in and said they laid $500 in Vegas and Zach Collins would crap himself in his first NBA game. Does he collect? He collects.
I think he collect. I need some research. Has this ever happened? Has a guy ever had to leave the floor because he messed himself? Joe Paterno did.
Oh, I guarantee you just don't know about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet it happens all the time. You just don't know about it.
Yeah. Joe Paterno, remember playing Ohio State, Paterno had to leave right before half, and he went in and S'd himself because he came out in different pants.
Well,
and
no, he didn't.
No, he messed himself. He messed himself because he came out in completely different clothes. Remember?
Oh, so he did.
It was like there was like 3 minutes to go in the half, and Joe Paterno is shown. They're playing Ohio State. I'll see if I can find the audio of this. Maybe it's on YouTube. So Paterno jogs off the field, and the announcers, you know, they see this, and so they throw it down to the sideline reporter, and they're like, hey, we'll try to get an update. We don't know what's going on, but Joe Paterno has left. And so everyone was kind of like, oh, my gosh, is something wrong? Well, they come out at halftime, and they don't mention it really at all. They just mention that he had left the field. They show the video again, and they're coming out at half, and they show Joe Paterno running onto the field, and they go down to the sideline reporter who's snickering, who is trying to hold it back. And they say, well, we've been informed that Joe was just dealing with an intestinal issue, but it's been corrected and he's doing okay. And that's when I noticed, wait a minute, Joe Paterno's wearing different pants.
Was he doing like the clinch walk?
Yes. It was like the clinch jog as he was going off the field. You don't go in at half and you don't change slacks unless something happened. Joe Paterno never made it back to the restroom.
Yeah, somebody brought this up on text, and they're right. Bobby Hurley, 19, I don't remember what year, but one of those, like 1990 or some Duke. Bobby Hurley left the court.
Because
and they asked him after the game, or maybe it was Coach K, but they asked him, and he just flat out said it. He's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but... it was diarrhea. Is there another word for it?
I gotta go.
Yeah. He had the rhea.
I saw it in practice once, but never in a game. They did. I saw someone leave practice because of that, and it was bad. And it wasn't like a coach could deny what had happened. You know, because everyone tried to do that. Like, hey, coach, I gotta leave the drill. Like, I gotta go take care of something. Coach's like, shut up. No, this was our starting right guard, and he's like, I gotta go into the locker room. And the coach is like, what? And he goes, I'm going. And he starts jogging off the field, and we're all like, is he leaving practice? And then we saw it just all down the back, like running down the back of his pants, like down through the knee braces, and no one said a word. The coach went from like, hey, get back. Oh, no, all right, just
all right, go ahead.
Just go.
Understood.
You're done.
We get it.
Thanks for trying to tough it out, but you go.
All right, we got to go. Coming up next in the news segment, starting with what is happening with the weather. Have you read this?
No.
Yeah. There's a weather pattern.
Are we all going to die? Oh, is this the river in the air?
Yeah, the river in the sky.
I saw this, but I didn't pay much attention to it.
We'll start there next on The Fan.
By the way, during the break, I have found the Joe Paterno poops his pants video on YouTube, and it's even better after all these years going back and watching it. I did.
I tweeted it out. I want to see it.
I tweeted it out. If you go to big_Souk, you can see it. And it's even better than I remember. There's 7:21 left to go in the second half, or in the first half against Ohio State, and Penn State is getting ready to punt from their own end zone. And Joe Paterno runs through his team's formation as they're getting ready to punt and runs right through the back of the end zone. Like, he runs through the team's huddle.
You're kidding.
No, I am not. And clearly, he is making the I've got to go right now run. And then he comes and he runs out in black pants. And when he comes back out in the second half, he's wearing brown pants. And Bonnie Bernstein has to report on it. Wait till you see the clip.
Mike's got the audio. Should we play the audio?
I don't know if the audio is good. It'll make sense without the video, but I think we can give it a whirl. But watch the video. Like, he doesn't run off the sidelines. He runs through the middle of the game. Like, the play clock is running, and little Joe Paterno runs right through the gall darn action because he's got to make the... That means that he didn't have time to run around. Like, he had to take the straight line because he knew it was coming.
And he is doing the very delicate poop drop.
It's even better than I remember.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like 7 minutes left before halftime. He's I'm out.
I've never seen a coach run through the middle of the field when there's a game going on. Mike, did you pull the audio?
By the way.
The audio is better than I could have imagined because Bonnie Bernstein makes a runs pun.
I want to tell you, too, that... So that's on your Twitter?
Yeah, that's on my Twitter.
I just posted my... hashtag never forget photo for the Blazers upcoming season on my Twitter. So we've got some Twitter content for you guys.
We got some good content
tonight.
But I'm telling you, go to Twitter, big_Suk. Look up the joke. Look, that's the last thing I tweeted. Just watch the video because it is so freaking good. Like, you think me describing Joe Paterno crapping his pants, it does nothing. It's just, I'm underselling this, how great this video is.
Have you ever seen the George Brett diarrhea story on YouTube?
Yeah, the George Brett diarrhea story is great.
So good.
Look,
play it because I guess we could. We could bleep it. I think we played it once.
But even without the bleeping, it loses some of it.
Just check it out. It's great.
You need to see
George Brett crapped his pants in Vegas.
Look, you know, it's something that we can all relate to.
All right.
Hashtag never forget.
It's saving in. It'll take one moment.
You know everyone on his team, too. You can't make fun of him to his face. So I've mentioned before, because they actually probably liked Joe Paterno.
Do you want to know what's great about that video?
Everything?
Go ahead.
Oh, what's great?
Well, I think it's amazing, truly amazing, that he, as the head coach of the Penn State team.
Yes. Like, the number 24 team in the country playing the number one team in the country.
He is one of the top two most important people in that entire building.
Yes.
Right? And there are 90,000 people there. And he doesn't take any steps to hide it.
No.
Like, he just does not care. Like, I don't care.
I gotta go.
Like, you would think a lot of coaches would be like, oh, like they would... They wouldn't, well, first of all, they wouldn't do what he did and run to the locker room.
Well,
they would,
or if you did, I assume, like, if you had to go, you would make your way around the field, right? Like, you'd stay out of bounds and try to be, you know.
That, or like, hand me a towel. I'm going to hang a towel off the back of my pants. You know, like, yeah. I don't know. Like, something to be like, oh, I cannot show 90,000 people that I'm about to crap myself. However, me being Joe Paterno, I don't give any F's. I'm going to run right through the formation and tell them all.
Yeah, this is what I'm doing.
Is that Joe running all the way across the field? Is Joe Paterno in the end zone?
Is he going to the bathroom?
Joe Paterno is leaving the field. He has come all the way across his offensive line and huddle, and he is heading to the locker room. And we have no reason to know why. And Joe's maybe the only guy that knows. Kapanos to punt from near his own end. The 21. Let's check in with Bonnie.
Tell you what, Brad, if the players felt as sick as Coach Paterno was, maybe they would have longer runs today. Suffering from a bit of a flu bug. He says he feels a little better, but I could just tell he's still kind of washed out. I said, Coach, what were you able to keep up on in the locker room? And he's like, well, I know we missed a field goal, and then we made it, and that's all that matters.
That's great. It's the first time Joe's probably listened to us in a long, long time.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll critique us the next time we talk to
him. Absolutely.
They'd have longer runs.
How good is Bonnie Bernstein?
That is a purpose pitch across the bow of the SS Paterno by Bonnie Bernstein. left wearing black pants, came back wearing brown pants.
Yeah.
You don't change your trousers if you make it in
time.
I
feel like that was a pretty poor decision to go with the light-colored khakis on the way back after you've already pooped yourself.
That's true. The saving grace is that he was wearing black pants, and it probably hit it.
Yes.
If he had been wearing the light khaki, that would have been disastrous.
We would have had this Zapruder film zooming in on his butt. It would have happened. You know it would have happened.
Let me tell you, if the Penn State players are feeling as sick as him, they'd have a lot longer runs than they do now.
I bet they would, Bonnie. I bet they would.
Look, if somebody brings up a good point, you know, now they have those sidelines, the sideline tents.
Yeah.
You could go back in there.
But then...
Well, you would just need to... I don't know.
Is there a place you get like a Gatorade bucket or something? Look, you like empty one of those out?
Dude, it's warfare. You're the head coach. Everybody's watching you.
What would be great if Paterno had to stick his head out of one of those and then send someone to get pants? Look, can't come out yet. I need you to go get me some pants.
Bill, give me your pants.
And give me some of those Gatorade towels. I need some cleanup in your stat. I've told the story many times about how I hated my offensive line coach at BYU more than I could hate another human being. He truly was terrible. And he was like Joe Paterno. He was 1,000 years old, and he had a lot of old man ailments. And the only good thing about having him as my offensive line coach was some of the different old man ailments that we would get to see him suffer through and try not to just die laughing. Like, he would make us do sit-ups after practice. That was his thing. For whatever reason, we were all going to do sit-ups. Because apparently he watched like a Jack LaLanne video from like 1914 and decided that all the old linemen needed to do sit-ups. And he wouldn't receive any medical attention, by the way. He refused to ever go see a doctor. Just wouldn't happen. We watched him in the middle of sit-ups. Have you ever seen a hernia pop out?
No.
Oh my Lord. He had a hernia come out of his, like the top of his pants, and was hanging over his sweats. And we watched this, and then we watched him have to get on all fours, stand up, and then shove the hernia back in, like through his, like I guess underneath the pants. These are the sort of things that we got to see on a daily basis. He tried to raise the roof once, you know, like where you get the crowd up, and he was trying to raise the roof and he blew out his shoulder. He was trying to get the crowd fired up, and his shoulder popped out, and he went to the ground, blowing out his arm, raising the roof. And so we would just sit around, and we would watch him and wait for him to hurt himself. Or when – this is the one I felt bad for laughing for, but I really don't because I hated him so much. When he would get really excited and yell at you, when he'd get really animated, the wet spot would appear in the front, and it would like slowly grow. The angrier he couldn't control it when he would get angry like that. And then he also had a really bad comb over and a hair dye job. So when it would rain, or if he would get too hot and sweaty, like when we played down at Alabama, the dye and the little the sprinkle stuff that he used to cover up the bald spot would run down his face, and he would have to hurry and scramble to get a towel in order to try to clean it up, because he would have black streaks that would be running down his face. This man was in charge of me for 4+ years. And it was the worst 4 years of my life, but those little things gave me enjoyment. And I promise you that Joe Paterno crapping his pants was the best day of those kids' life that year. Nothing was better than those kids getting to watch Joe Paterno crap his pants.
They probably still talk about it.
To this day.
All right, weather news next. Here's Mike. Well, we've got to nothing we wanted to tonight because you can't stop talking about Joe Paterno pooping himself.
It's one of the best moments in college football history.
Somebody texted in at like 5:10 and said, can't wait to get to the club and have you guys not talk about anything you just teased. Then, right. Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Look, you try to deal with Joe Paterno crapping himself. Never forget.
It is quite good. Now, there is a fascinating weather pattern that is taking place this week here in the Pacific Northwest.
I saw something about this, but I did not read further other than just the tagline.
Let me tell you about it. It's called a river in the sky, and it spans the entire width of the ocean from Asia to North America.
Seems like a long way.
So if you look at the, you know, like how they do, sometimes you're watching the weather and they do the aerial satellite shots.
Yeah.
and you can see the storm. Well, if you zoom all the way out and have Asia and North America in the photo, this storm goes straight across all the way.
Hence the river, between the river and the sky.
Great observation, Jason.
So I'm not the best in the business for nothing. I was going to say, so it's just, does it look like a river in the aerial photo?
Yeah, kind of. Pretty much.
I know that did not sound like a resounding yes.
I mean, it does. You know?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
I'm looking at this. Looks like nothing like a river.
Most of it does. There's a little part that looks kind of like a hurricane, but it's not a hurricane.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. This looks nothing like a river. It is 5,000 miles long, though. That's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, like I said, it spans the entire Pacific Ocean.
I did not know the distance between China and us.
Plainly spoken, it's a train of rain, and it's on its way to Washington State. So over the coming days, this so-called atmospheric river will unload tremendous amounts of rain and snow over the Pacific Northwest.
It's going to be huge.
The series of storms will spray out the equivalent of 10 to 15 inches of rain at high elevations and up to several inches near the coast, including over Seattle and Portland.
There's just some guy like on a boat sailing right now that's just pissed. He's like, really?
The whole way.
It doesn't stop raining once. Mother!
Wednesday, that's today, will likely be Seattle's wettest 24 hours since February. More than an inch of rain is in the forecast. And then widespread rainfall totals from 2 to 5 inches, blah, blah, blah. They're saying Portland will likely get hit with another one of these on Saturday. So be ready for another one.
Ah, hell. There goes the damn golf game. Weren't you playing golf this weekend?
Yeah, I got a tee time Sunday.
Not anymore.
Oh, no, I'll be out there.
Not with the train of rain coming.
I'll be out there, man. I bought my new rain shoes.
You got some new rain gear? I see. That's...
I got it all dialed in. I'm ready to roll.
You're a better man than me.
Let's go play.
I'm not playing in the rain.
It's been a couple weeks. I got to go play.
Are you a rain guy? Will you go out and brave it?
You know, I've told you this, but I'll repeat it.
I find that a miserable experience.
I have found in my 17 years of golfing in the Northwest, which is not as many years as some of you, I have found that, let's put a percentage on it and say 85% of the time, maybe 90% of the time you go out, even though it kind of looks dicey, it's not that bad. Like, not that bad at all, to the point where it's like they say it's going to rain and it's not raining. And maybe it sprinkles a little bit, maybe it spits. And I think most people wouldn't push it. They'd be like, it looks like it's going to rain. I'm not going to play. Well, I don't do that unless it's there are some days where it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, no.
The course is closed. It's so wet. Or you can see it on the radar. It's like, there's no chance we're going to play golf. It's
standing
pouring.
Water on the greens.
So those instances, which is about 10% of the time, you're like, all right, I'm out. I can't play. I'm not going to play. But most of the time, I'll push it. It's never that bad. It's never as bad as you think. And then especially if you've got, you need an umbrella just in case, cover your clubs. You need some rain gear, some wet gear, and that's it. The worst is when, I think the worst is the cumulative effects of a lot of rain on a golf course just makes it so soggy.
Yeah, and every time you swing, you got mud going everywhere.
Yeah, see, I hate that.
And then your socks get wet. And being wet is a miserable feeling. And it's just, that's never a good experience to be wet and cold. And so, yeah, I am with you that if it's like a warm rain or it's a drizzle, I get it. But if it's in the 50s and there's any kind of steady rain, I don't like golf that much. I enjoy going outside. But one of the reasons I like to golf is because it's a nice day. It's sunny. You're out in nature. I never want to go. Like, if it's a sunny day, I like to just be outside. Never when it's like pissing rain am I like, you know what I want to do right now? I want to go stand outside and be one with nature. No.
So you remember yesterday we had a Bigfoot sighting in Northern California?
Yeah, we got the squatching.
We have another.
It was Bigfoots.
There were six of them.
It was a pack. It was a pack of Bigfoots.
We have another sighting. This in Strawberry, Arizona.
So
they
again,
travel fast.
We've littered the West Coast with Bigfoots.
So the eyewitness claims he was camping at a campground in the Monongahela Rim area where he spotted the alleged beast.
Who hasn't been in the Monongahela Rim area from time to time?
That's when my wife and I get kinky.
Exactly. Hey, honey, you want to go to the Monongahela Rim?
I had finished reading a book when I looked across the campground and I noticed a very fast moving dark figure heading from north to south.
Clearly that has to be a Sasquatch. Nothing that big moves that fast. And north to south, that screams a Squatch.
Perhaps it was Usain Bolt.
It's possible. Or just be a big, hairy, naked guy.
The man goes on to say that he initially believed the figure was a large kid on a bicycle.
Couldn't be that. No way it could be a kid on a bike. Has to be a Sasquatch.
Because it was moving too fast. Then he explains he realized that what he was looking at was something unusual. He says it was a very large Bigfoot. It only lasted about 3 seconds, but I was lucky to see it at all.
How do you go from thinking that it's a kid on a bike to a very large Bigfoot?
The camper adds that the figure was about 125 yards from his viewpoint. Therefore, he was not able to identify facial details.
No.
That's oddly specific.
Yeah. Pinpointed that 125. That's about a, maybe he's a golfer. He's like, that's about a pitching wedge. Yeah.
It
maybe
ran,
a short 9-iron.
It ran with a slight forward slant to its body. Maybe it had had the Rhea.
It's possible. Maybe
it was headed for the locker room.
It was doing the Joe Paterno trot.
Yeah, but we know when you have the Rhea, you are straight as a button.
That's
straight
true.
As a board.
The Rhea is really not a forward tilt. If anything, it's a backwards tilt.
Yeah, because you are doing the full butt cheek clench.
You're clenching.
You're clenching and you're kind of going backwards. Now, did he have the hand, which I don't understand. Why, when you do have that, why is your hand naturally, why does it go back there as if your hand is somehow going to keep everything in place?
Look, sometimes you need something to catch some stuff, you know?
I think that's more for our own, like, that's for your well-being. Like, that's just in your head.
Its head did not bob up and down like a human runner's head at that speed.
What? This guy's very, again, oddly specific about what he saw from 125 yards out.
Its coat, he explained, was almost black with a slight reddish tint. The alleged sighting prompted an investigation.
It had a tent on its back?
Tint. Tint.
Taint? What?
Taint. Taint.
His reddish taint.
His taint.
I saw it clear as day. Let me tell you, it was magnificent. It'd be hard to
I've
see with all the...
to touch your taint.
It'd be hard to see with all the clinching that was going on, but apparently Eagle Eye here from 125 yards out, he can't recognize facial features, but he can recognize a reddish hue.
So they open up an investigation, and the investigator...
Did they really open up an investigation?
Yeah. The investigator said that nine days after the incident, the depressions in the grass were still at the sighting spot.
And they were, you know, footprints?
It was not possible to get an accurate measurement of the foot size, but the length of the stride was clearly longer than what a human could achieve.
What if I was just jumpy?
They set the height at about 8 feet.
So that's where we're going.
So that's the that's the conclusion of the investigation.
Who investigated this?
It was Bigfoot on a bicycle.
Why do we assume Bigfoot when it's non-human?
Yeah.
Can it just be an animal is big and runs it that way?
What if it's a chupacabra? I don't know.
If Bigfoot, let's say you find Bigfoot in a gay bar.
Whoa, that took a turn.
Is the story that you found Bigfoot or that Bigfoot's gay?
Wow. Interesting. Like, think about this. Like, Bigfoot comes out with a press conference. And he's like, hey, everybody, I'm Bigfoot. And we're all excited about it. And then, like, 2 minutes into the press conference, he drops in, by the way,
I'm gay.
I'm gay. That's an interesting thing. I think the story I think the story becomes gay Bigfoot. I really do.
Not just Bigfoot. Hey, we found Bigfoot.
No.
Happens to be gay. No,
it's gay
Bigfoot's
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot's
gay. Yes. I think that's the headline. Not we found Bigfoot. The headline is gay Bigfoot found. Well, I think gay leads that story.
And I think the best part about it is the questions that come after. Are you gay for other Bigfoots? Are you gay for men?
Are you gay for bears?
Yeah, what are you gay for?
You like the twinks?
I don't know.
Where's
does Bigfoot draw a line, or is Bigfoot like doing like a whole soup kitchen thing in the animal kingdom? Anything goes.
Where's straight Bigfoot?
Is there a straight Bigfoot?
Are they all gay Bigfoots?
Well, then how do you procreate? Maybe surrogate Bigfoots. I don't know. The stork comes and drops them. So many questions. And then we get into the whole religious right thing, and it's a whole thing. Did God make Bigfoot that way, or was he influenced by Bigfoot media? We don't know. Got a lot of questions about gay Bigfoot. I do enjoy, though, that we went from possible kid on a bicycle to Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like a bit of a...
Well, must have been gay. Must have been, I was about to say gay Bigfoot.
Must have been gay.
Must have been... There's no proof that it's gay Bigfoot.
No.
It must have been.
We have our theories, but, you know, that's all they are. It's a working theory. It's a hypothesis that we're working on. We're doing some studies. I think they're being conducted down at Oregon State as we speak. Maybe that's why they've never come clean with their Bigfoot evidence. The world's ready for Bigfoot. The world's not ready.
You think he runs like Lamar Luttrell?
Luttrell Lamar.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got a limp-wristed throwing style. You know what? I just like to go on record and say that I love Bigfoot and gay Bigfoot equally. I'm not here to discriminate. I'm here to accept Bigfoot for whatever. Whatever he wants. Bicycle or not. Just know the next time you see what may be a kid riding a bicycle at 125 yards with a reddish-blackish taint, it's probably Bigfoot.
This guy's right. The headline... verbatim is Bigfoot found.
But he's gay.
good times, good times. Let's get John in here, shall we?
Yes, let's.
All right. Speaking of gay Bigfoot.
Well, there you go. Now that's a transition.
John is next on The Fan.
Weight 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sakanek on 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's get serious here. No more gay Bigfoot talk.
I'll tell you what, though. Some of the texts that are rolling in.
They're very good.
This may be my favorite conversation we've had in months.
Did you hear our last combo, John?
I'm pretty sure you just called me big or gay Bigfoot.
I mean, I insinuated.
But we didn't use those words exactly.
No, I mean, I just my
no,
transition.
No, Rob used those words exactly. He said gay Bigfoot.
I said
referred to me.
No, I said speaking of gay Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Let's get your brother in here. Hey, would you want to discover unequivocally proof that Bigfoot exists but not be able to tell anybody? Or come across proof that really made you think Bigfoot existed, but half the people in the world thought you were a complete idiot and disgraced you?
Interesting.
Oh.
Is he gay, or are we talking...
would it be worth it for you to discover Bigfoot, but you couldn't tell anybody, and just only you knew, gay or straight, you knew?
I want that. I'm going to take that one. That seems cleaner and simpler.
Yeah.
I don't need to tell anybody. Why do I need to tell anybody? It doesn't matter. I'm just like, holy crap, Bigfoot exists. That's cool.
Yeah, but if you discovered Bigfoot, I don't think you could keep that.
But you didn't say I did. Well, hold on. You didn't say I discovered Bigfoot. You just said discovered evidence that Bigfoot existed.
Yeah.
Unequivocal proof. And then, okay, in my opinion, that would be you see Bigfoot. Like
you meet Bigfoot.
I'm not talking like you stumble across a Polaroid that somebody left in the woods. You find Bigfoot. Huh. But you can't get any proof. You know it exists. You saw it. But you can't tell anybody. Would that be worth it?
Or the other is that you find evidence that you think is definitive proof, and a bunch of people believe you, but a bunch of people think you're a quack.
Yeah, you find some sort of evidence that really makes you believe that it's true, but half the people don't believe you and discredit you and your thought of it as a whack.
I want the first one. Because you get to see, like, that'd be kind of cool and freaky.
You get to meet Bigfoot, and who cares if no one believes you? You know it's true.
He'd probably hit on us, though.
Yeah. I mean, knowing that I've heard rumors, you know.
What would you do? Which one would you take?
I think it would be cool to know, like, if you found Bigfoot, but I think it would drive you crazy over the course of your life to know and not be able to tell or not have anybody believe you. I think that would be crazy.
That wouldn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I'm like,
I just go about my day. It's not like he's out there killing people. And
yeah, I don't understand what would be so wrong about it. I would know that I have Bigfoot, and I would tell friends and family, I'm like, yeah, I've met Bigfoot.
Yeah, and I'd be that. Yeah, we'd be that guy. Yeah. That people would be like, hey, do you believe in Bigfoot? I'd be like, yeah, I've seen him.
You couldn't tell anybody though. It would just be you knowing.
Well, you could tell people they wouldn't believe you, or like, I'm literally not allowed to say it. Like, it's like Bigfoot will come along and club me.
Well, it's probably
you're not allowed to say it's just you. You're not allowed to say anything.
It's probably better that you
know that you can't share it with anybody.
It's probably better that you don't say it.
Yeah,
because people are going to think you're crazy anyway. So if you know, I think that's the better. That's actually even easier, is that knowing that he exists, but you can't say it. So, I mean, it's over. Like, it's just a moment in time.
I think that'd be hard to know something like that and not be able to tell anybody.
Well, but if I could have like a secret relationship with Bigfoot, gay or straight, and I just got to hang out with him, I could keep that a secret. It'd be like my own little, be like my Puff the Magic Dragon. Like, I would just hang out with him and we would do cool Bigfoot things together.
Listen, I know you. You wouldn't keep that a secret. You'd take him to the store and it'd be all blown out of proportion.
I would like to hang out with Bigfoot, like Harry and the Henderson style. Like, he could live in my backyard and we'd do cool stuff together. Yeah.
Yeah, you would. On an unrelated note, I'm watching the baseball game. Is there any singular achievement in sports cooler than hitting a home run?
No. That's the best feeling you can have.
Cooler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think so. I don't think there's anything cooler than somebody throwing a ball at you and you hitting it a really long way with a stick. That's awesome.
What about, like, Kenny Wheaton?
No, an interception.
For a touchdown? To win the game?
Gonna score.
But a walk-off? Like, if you're gonna go, like, walk-off home runs, like Joe Carter style? No, there's nothing better than hitting a home run.
Hitting a home run is the coolest thing in sports. I firmly believe it.
You get to trot around the bases. Everyone's going ape-ass. Everyone's waiting for you at home plate. Yeah.
You get to do the Kirk Gibson fist pump.
Exactly. No, home run.
All right. Have a good night.
Now, if Gabe Bigfoot hits a home run, you're on to something.
Yeah, you are.
I would tune into that.
See, now it's going to... Now, after this whole conversation about gay Bigfoot, it's going to suck when they find Bigfoot and there's nothing about him being gay.
It's ridiculous.
It's kind of disappointing.
Then I think we start the trend and be like, look, Bigfoot's living a double life, and we don't think he should have to. Just be who you are, Bigfoot. We'll accept you.
All right, Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch is coming up next. Some baseball talk. A lot to talk about. We're back tomorrow. Jason Quick, NBC Sports Northwest will join us. Friday, Oregon State AD Scott Barnes. 3-7 on The Fan.
Red ships of Spain. Red ships of Spain.
But he's gay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.